Harry Dresden is having a terrible week. As Chicago's only professional wizard for hire, he's used to skepticism about his Yellow Pages listing. But when Lieutenant Karen Murphy calls him to a grisly crime scene, even his magical expertise is tested. Two people, mobster enforcer Tommy Tom and escort Jennifer Stanton, lie dead in a hotel room. Their hearts literally exploded from their chests during an intimate moment. The lingering scent of sulfur and ozone confirms Harry's worst fears. This is thaumaturgy, black magic requiring personal items from the victims to create a deadly magical connection. Someone collected hair, blood, or nail clippings from both victims, channeled intense hatred through a ritual, and literally blew their hearts out from a distance. As Harry examines the blood-spattered walls, he knows this isn't just murder. It's a violation of the fundamental laws of magic, punishable by death from the White Council of Wizards. And somehow, he's about to become the prime suspect. Living as a modern wizard means constant compromises. Harry's magic shorts out anything with a microchip, forcing him to live without modern technology in his basement apartment. His magical consulting barely pays rent, and multiple parties demand his attention. Crime boss Gentleman Johnny Marcone wants his silence about the murders. Monica Sells needs help finding her husband Victor, who's been experimenting with magic. And the White Council sends Morgan, Harry's probation officer, with a magical sword, suspecting Harry committed the murders himself. Beneath Chicago lies a hidden ecosystem of magical beings. McAnally's Pub serves as neutral ground for the supernatural community, with 13 of everything to disperse magical energy. When Harry visits Bianca St. Clair, a vampire masquerading as an escort service madam who employed one of the victims, their meeting turns dangerous, forcing him to use stored sunlight in his shield bracelet to escape her corpse-like transformation. For intelligence, Harry summons a tiny fairy named Toot Toot with bread and honey, and at home consults Bob, a skull-dwelling spirit with centuries of magical knowledge who demands romance novels as payment. This world operates by strict rules. Power requires sacrifice, knowledge demands payment, and breaking magical laws has severe consequences. Harry balances serving human justice while navigating supernatural politics invisible to most Chicagoans. The investigation leads Harry to Linda Randall, a driver connected to both murder victims. During their interview, she shifts between flirtation and fear, revealing disturbing details about the Becketts, a wealthy couple hiring her for mysterious late-night drives. Before Harry can learn more, Linda becomes the third victim, bearing the same magical signature. Meanwhile, a dangerous drug called 3-Eye spreads through Chicago, causing violent episodes and apparent hallucinations. When a 3-Eye addict recognizes Harry as a wizard and describes his metaphysical scars, information only someone with magical sight could know, it becomes clear someone is manufacturing a substance that grants temporary magical ability. A teenage pizza delivery driver reports strange lights, rhythmic chanting, and wild parties at Victor Sells' lake house. The connections between Victor's amateur magic, Bianca's vampire empire, the Becketts' activities, and the magical drug trade suggest a complex conspiracy threatening both Chicago's mortal and supernatural communities. In Harry's world, magic stems from emotional focus and will, not memorized Latin phrases. The murders are manifestations of hatred channeled through ritual. Victor Sells harnesses emotions, first fear, then lust, to power his spells, using orgies at his lake house as magical batteries for his deadly thaumaturgy. Thunderstorms provide additional energy for his heart-exploding magic. Harry's magic operates on similar principles. When creating potions with Bob, he must channel specific emotions, like worry and stubbornness. Against a toad demon, he draws power from a storm, directing lightning through his staff. This emotional connection extends to Harry's investigative tools, like the soul gaze he accidentally shares with Marconi, revealing the crime boss as a soldier, a warrior, with all the deadly precision of a martial artist. These magical insights illuminate characters' motivations, making magic an extension of human nature rather than an external force. Throughout the investigation, characters pay steep costs for power and knowledge. Harry damages Murphy's trust by withholding supernatural information, supposedly to protect her. His magical abilities come with constant drawbacks. Technology fails around him, and his power attracts hostile entities. Victor Sells represents the steepest price, transforming from ordinary stockbroker to murderer through magical dabbling. The Becketts, whose daughter died in mob crossfire, abandoned their respectable identities to become vessels for revenge against Marcone. Linda Randall's pursuit of pleasure entangles her with dangerous forces, leading to her murder. The White Council formalizes this reality through harsh laws. Harry lives under the doom of Damocles, a suspended death sentence for any violation. As Morgan warns, one mistake and I will end your life. This theme, that power and knowledge demand payment, provides the moral framework for the story's supernatural elements. Despite his impressive abilities, Harry remains profoundly human. He lives in a basement apartment with secondhand furniture, drives a multicolored Volkswagen Beetle that frequently breaks down, and struggles financially. His physical vulnerability is evident as he's ambushed, beaten, and nearly killed multiple times. Unlike superhero wizards, Harry feels every wound. My head hurt, my back hurt, my ribs hurt, my arm hurt, my legs hurt, even my teeth hurt. Emotional vulnerability shapes him equally. Memories of his father, a kind, struggling stage magician who died when Harry was young, provide both comfort and pain. His relationship with Murphy reveals his fear that those he cares about will reject him once they learn what he truly is. When Murphy refuses to trust him, Harry reflects, "It hurt. It hurt bad. Murphy had been my friend." Yet he still tries to save her life when she's poisoned, his loyalty transcending her distrust. This blend of power and vulnerability makes Harry relatable, creating a character whose victories come from persistence, cleverness, and willingness to endure pain for what he believes is right. In the final confrontation at Victor's lake house, Harry faces impossible odds against a sorcerer controlling a storm, deadly scorpions, and armed henchmen. Yet Harry's greatest weapons aren't magical. They're his detective's mind and unwavering moral code. Instead of engaging in a destructive magical duel, he relies on cleverness, throwing a film canister to break Victor's ritual circle and animating a cleaning broom as distraction. His victory comes through knowledge, using a demon's true name to break Victor's control. This balance between magical power and moral restraint defines Harry's character. He could easily use magic for personal gain or revenge, but consistently chooses to protect others and maintain ethical boundaries. As the storm clears over Chicago, Harry reflects on his purpose, creating a space where the supernatural respects boundaries and ordinary people are protected from forces they shouldn't have to face. The wizard detective has found his calling, standing at the threshold between worlds, ensuring that magic remains bound by justice.